Armando Anthony Chick Corea, pianist, composer, force of nature, and my friend, died on February 9th at the age of 79. I started playing with Chick back in 1995, and we collaborated dozens of times over the past 25 years. He was one of my favorite people to play with, in part because he was such a prolific and genius composer, but also because when we rehearsed, he'd always ask the band what they thought. He invited us into his process. He was a generous musician in person. Chick wrote and played music for the sheer pleasure of it. He had no agenda other than to touch people, to move them, inspire them. That's certainly how I felt listening to him. Even when we weren't working together, I'd play his albums. At my core, I'm a fan, just like so many of you. The episode of Jazz Night in America you're about to hear started with a conversation between Chick and me back in 2018.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We could just freestyle, right? All right, two friends speaking. I loved making it because it gave me the opportunity to sit down and talk with Chick about his life and his work. Something that, despite logging hundreds of hours together, I hadn't gotten the chance to do all that much. He told me stories of his early days in Boston, his dad, and about one night in 1959 that he snuck into Birdland for a Miles Davis set.
All right, yeah, I'll never forget that. That was one of the turning points.
In his words, at the beginning of that set.
Well, I was a boy, and then that happened, and I became a man.
My conversation with Chick Corea is coming up next. But first, we recorded his band, the Vigilette Trio, in his hometown of Boston at a club called Scullers. So let's start there, with Chick Corea and the Vigilette Trio on stage with their rendition of On Green Dolphin Street.
Thank you.
That was the standard On Green Dolphin Street, played here by Chick Corea and Vigilette. The song, which became part of the canon after Miles Davis recorded it in 1958, has become a staple in Chick's performances. He plays it as a tip of the hat to Miles, who was instrumental in Chick's early musical development. I began my chat with Chick by asking him about Miles and the first musician he was inspired by, his dad.
Through my dad, I discovered music. Yeah. My dad had a great collection, and he had bands, and he was playing the trumpet, and he was writing music, and his musicians would come back to the little apartment when I was very small, and they'd all hang out in the kitchen and while my mother made food. They smoking cigarettes, loosen up their tuxedo ties, and I'd be in there, man. I'd be in there, like, looking at these guys, they're having fun. I thought, I want to be one of these. I want to be one of them. And then Armando, my dad, had a great 78 vinyl collection. And there was young Miles on his Dial recordings with Bird.
Oh, with Bird, yeah.
Yeah, that's how I first heard Miles.
Wow.
One time I walked in and my dad was shaking his head, and I could see he was tearing.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And it drew me in.
I want to move up just a hair, and if you could tell that story about going to Birdland and seeing Miles's group for the first time.
It's like I can rewind that picture and see Philly Joe and Paul Chambers come up on stage, and Paul just holding his bass, and then Train came on and just stood there calmly with his tenor hanging on his neck, and then Wynton Kelly walked out with a hat on, like hat like you were wearing, and a drink in one hand and a cigarette in the other hand.
So hip.
And it seemed like a little while they waited before Miles came out. Then Miles came out with this really hip, tight, short jacket suit on, you know, and stood there real relaxed. And he said, "Boo-doo-boo-bop." And into Autumn Leaves, and that was it, man.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, this is what I really came to New York for, to do, to learn, and so forth. So I left Columbia. I called up Anna, my mom.
Yeah.
Said, look, Ma, I gotta, you know.
When we return, we'll jump back into my conversation with Chick Corea to hear how Latin music inspired him to break from the cool jazz norms. Plus, more music from Chick and his trio, Vigilette, in concert at Scullers in Boston. I'm Christian McBride, and this is Jazz Night in America. Welcome back to Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Chick Corea hit the scene in New York City in the early 60s, first as a sideman. He played with saxophonist Stan Getz, vocalist Sarah Vaughan, and Cuban percussionist Mongo Santamaria. Chick was recognized for his versatility with musical styles and international rhythms. When I sat down with him, he told me how he came to embrace one particular genre, Latin music.
Before I discovered Latin dance music, I was into the way bebop musicians were presenting themselves. And this was like early 50s. Miles was leading that crew, and of course, Bird was the god. There was a change from the era just before. This is my perception. The era just before, you had Duke Ellington and Count Basie, and they were entertainers. They were great musicians, but they were entertainers. And then it turned, the presentation of the music turned cool. It turned cool in relation to the audience, not a whole lot of repartee with the audience and that kind of thing. And I was into that, you know, like the seriousness of, well, this is a serious thing that's happening right now. I'm about to play this song. And so then I got this gig with a Latin group in Boston. And we played at dances. And wow, it was the first time it really extroverted me into seeing how the music affects people.
Yeah.
Because they're out there dancing. I thought, wow, what a nice effect. I love to make people dance. Look at that. They're all happy and stuff.
Right.
So it showed me that the rhythm and the way the music is has a lot to do with the emotion that you're conveying, of course.
Let's return to our concert with Chick and his Vigilette trio at Scullers in Boston. This tune is Rumba Flamenco. Well, wait, is it rumba or is it flamenco?
When I went to name it, I thought, well, what is this? Is this flamenco or is this Latino, so I called it Rumba Flamenco. It's sort of a mash.
Okay, so it's both. Let's check it out. Thank you. That was Rumba Flamenco, written and performed by pianist Chick Corea, with Carlitos Del Puerto on bass and Marcus Gilmore on the drums, both of whom hold down the bass and drums in one of Chick's other bands, The Vigil, hence the name of this smaller group, Vigilette. It's been deep seeing Chick firsthand as a partner on the bandstand. He always switches it up depending on the group. One gig could be fusion, avant-garde, or full of blistering up-tempo tunes. The one thing Chick always brings to the stage that I really admire is his profound appreciation for the musicians that have paved the way, especially cats who might not have received the proper respect. The first time I went on the road with Chick in 1996, we were honoring one of those musicians, pianist Bud Powell.
Bud Powell influenced so much of us because he was that composer pianist. I mean, I put Bud on the same level as Mozart, but Bud just didn't do as much. He had a tough life, but I never forget Bud.
Here's one of Bud Powell's compositions that could definitely give Mozart a run for his money. And in true Chick fashion, he began the tune with a nod to Baroque composer Domenico Scarlatti. This is Tempest Fugit, performed by Chick Corea's Vigilette Trio, live from Scholars in Boston. Thank you. That was Tempest Fugit, written by Bud Powell and performed by Chick Corea. When we return, we'll hear the formidable composer, pianist in his own right, talk about his writing process. Plus, more music from Chick live from Scholars Jazz Club in Boston. This is Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Welcome back to Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. From the late 60s onwards, pianist Chick Corea firmly established himself as an ever-evolving innovator. Chick's involvement in the rise of jazz fusion in the 70s with his group Return to Forever brought about one of many compositions of his to become a standard, Spain. With more than 50 years of consistent creating, Chick hasn't slowed down. When I asked him about his pace, he said that earlier in his career, he considered himself a composer first, performer second.
I thought, like, I really want to be a composer. I want to, like, create the music. And then it's a good idea if I can play what I'm creating to show others what I'm creating. But even when I'm playing, it's the composer that is behind the whole thing. It was sort of like just a concept. But it's just a skill that you develop like any skill by doing it.
Right.
Doing it.
And he keeps on doing it, and doing it well. Chick has been an incredible cat to look up to over the years for so many reasons. As a musician, for his tireless work ethic, and especially as a person, for the attitude he carries with him both on and off the bandstand. When you listen to his recordings, or have the fortune to see him perform live, it's hard not to feel something. Whether it's joy or inspiration, Chick will always make it his mission to bring something to everyone.
I feel as musicians and artists that if you want to, you can take on a kind of a responsibility to get something done in the world. One of the best ways to help another is to demonstrate health and competence. You just demonstrate it. You don't need to yap about it and say, well, right. I do this, I do that, you ought to do this, you ought to do that.
Just do it.
You just do it, because that's where the inspiration comes. You see your heroes, you watch, and
that's
you listen
right.
to them. I mean, I think we have a mission to go out there and be an antidote to war and all of the dark side of what happens on planet Earth.
Yeah.
And we can be like the bright side. We're the ones that go in and remind people about their creativity, about the fact that they can, you know, they see us create and be free and be happy creating, doing something we love. That's the example.
Yeah.
And I get as many comments about that from fans as I do about the music itself. I mean, I'll get musical comments from the musicians. But from the fans that are non-musicians, they see the joy and the creative spirit, and that's what gets them.
Bud Powell, Thelonious Monk, Miles Davis, Chick Corea, they're all the same cat to me.
Chris, thank you, man. It's great being together again. It's been a while.
Let's
play.
I love you to death, man.
Likewise.
Thanks for being such an inspiration. Back to the stage of Scholars in Boston. We're going to bring it on home with another original by Chick. This is Fingerprints.
Thank you.
Jazz Night in America is a production of WBGO, Jazz in Lincoln Center, and NPR Music. The music was recorded by Antonio Oliart. Special thanks to Tessel Collins and the whole WGBH team. Shout out to Stephen Eckleberry and Jan Muller. This week's episode was written and produced by Trevor Smith with Alex Arif. Our senior producer is Katie Simon. Executive producers are Amy Niles, Gabrielle Armand, and Anya Grundman. Lauren Anke is the director of NPR Music. I'm Christian McBride.
Marcus Gilmore on drums, Carlitos Del Puerto on the bass, Chick Corea on the piano. Thank you all for coming out. You've been great. Thank you.